Well, we're going to kind of start a series today, and we're going to be talking about staying fit in challenging times. Today won't be that specific because today we're just kind of setting the tone. And I just want us to remind ourselves today of who we are as the Church of Jesus Christ and what the Church of Jesus Christ is, why Jesus Christ instituted the church in the first place, and why in times such as we live in today, the church is actually more relevant than it has ever been before. So this year we're going to have, as God's people, we're going to have unprecedented opportunities to serve the Lord and to reach out to others. And I'm just excited and looking forward to it. Now, we do have an insert in the bulletin. We've got the notes on one side, which are kind of brief today. And then we've got our scripture reading on the other side. So let's get that, if you can find it, and let's stand together for our responsive reading. I'll read that light print and ask you to read the dark print, and then I'll join you on that last verse. May the Lord add His blessing to His word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today that the Church of the Living God is alive and present on planet Earth. And we thank You, Lord, that whatever plans You have for the world and for individual people will be carried out by and through the church that You have placed here. We, Lord, as a part of that body, we just pray today that we will renew our relationship with You, that we will renew our tie with You, that we will, Lord, be reinvigorated and just equipped as never before, Lord, to give freely because we have received freely, and to reach out to the people around us in our community and in our families, in our homes, and in our places of work, that we may truly be the church in all of the places where You put us and where You place us. It is Your purpose that we are concerned about. It is Your purpose that You are concerned about. And we simply are a part of that purpose, and we fit into it as we yield to You and as we follow Your leading, Lord. So we just pray today that we will be fulfilling our purpose, meaning Your purpose for us, Lord, and that we, as never before, will be the Church of the Living God, showing people Your power, Your transforming power, and showing them the way to salvation and eternal life, and yes, to overcoming living. These things we ask, and we pray that You would just take Your word and use it today, Lord, to encourage us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We've talked just a couple of times, I guess, over the last, I don't know, last couple months or whatever, about the general situation around us. And I know that you're hearing about it in the news almost every single day. And everybody agrees that we're going to be facing some real challenges in our country, at least, you know, for the foreseeable. And then, of course, the world situation is kind of precarious in some ways also. And so we just live in a day when there's a lot of technology and really a lot of wealth and a lot of opportunity in a lot of ways. And yet at the same time, there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of dysfunction everywhere that we look. And it just seems paradoxical to me that at the time when we have peaked as a race of people on this planet, technologically, that morally and ethically and in those ways, we are just disintegrating by the day. And so that is the world that we live in today. And we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to be a part of the world scene, including the world church, or whether we're going to be the Church of Jesus Christ, and whether we're going to really have our lamps trimmed and be ready for His coming and be doing His bidding. But I can tell you this, that whatever the year 2009 holds, It's going to be God's church in Jesus Christ, His true body of blood-bought, blood-washed, blood-redeemed believers. They are the ones who are going to carry out God's purposes on this earth this year. They are the ones He's going to use to bring truth to people. They're the ones that He's going to use to bring freedom and liberation to people. They are the ones that God is going to use to initiate an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. Do you remember how the church was born? Was it not with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost? And I can tell you this, we may be the visible church, but unless we have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our church life and in our individual lives, we will never be able to be the church that He intended, because the church was born in the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the only way that the church will be relevant today. I imagine you're aware. Did you know that hundreds of churches close their doors across our nation every single year? Did you know that there are many churches that are literally drying up and dying because they're not relevant anymore? And did you know that the churches that are the fastest growing are the churches that preach the old, outmoded gospel? How many of you saw an article, somebody gave it to me, I hadn't seen it, about Rick Warren and that Rick Warren needs to evolve? How many saw that? And some of you saw that? Needs to get with it. Needs to get with the modern times, because even though he's so well known and so well accepted and all of this, yet he's really just an old time religionist. Well, praise God, I hope he is. Not everybody thinks he is, but I hope he is. But I can tell you this, the things that God is going to do, he's going to do through the people that are filled with his Holy Spirit. And we may be the church, but we need an infusion of his power. I got this. Some of you know that I've followed David Wilkerson's ministry for many years. He's a man that I have a great respect for. He is the founder of Teen Challenge International, and he is also the pastor of Times Square Church. Talk about being right in the middle of things. How spirit-led are these people? Well, back before 9/11, they had a big youth event, and they also had a conference planned the couple of weeks leading up to 9/11, and yet because they were in tune with the Lord spoke to them and said, something big is coming down, and I just want you to cancel everything and have round-the-clock prayer in your church. And so they didn't even know why they were doing it, and then 9/11 happened. And this is what he writes for December of 2008. I am convinced the Lord is trying to break through to his people as never before. As Scripture predicts, the devil has come down with great wrath, knowing his time is short. And right now, God's people need a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a supernatural touch even greater than the one at Pentecost. Think of it. Jesus' followers at Pentecost didn't have to fear nuclear weapons. They didn't face gay marriages in mainstream society. They didn't tremble as the entire world economy trembled on the brink of collapse. It is clear we need Holy Ghost power to face these last days. It's that simple. And yes, it is that simple. It is no more complicated than that. And there is a visible church, and there is an outer church, there is a structured church, and then there is the real church. Sometimes the two are the same, and sometimes the two aren't the same at all and have nothing to do with one another. In fact, apostate churches that don't claim Jesus as Savior and Lord and who deny the gospel, they are actually tools in the hands of the Antichrist. And so it is God's people who are tuned into Him and who are following Him that are going to be used of Him in these days. And so the church is more relevant now than it's ever been, and the church has always been. The worse things are, the more relevant the church is. Why? Because the church represents Jesus Christ and God's plan of redemption. And that is what God instituted to fix everything that's wrong with individuals, with society, and then by extension, with the world. And so it is true that we're the only ones that have the answer. And it's not because we're who we are, it's because of God's plan of redemption through His Son, and simply the fact that we are His church. The church is what came out of that. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, what came out of that? What came out of that is the church. And that's the only instrument God has had on this earth to work out His will and purpose since the day of Pentecost. And so today the church is still that instrument. And we are members of that body, it says, and members in particular. In other words, we are individually members of that body, which He calls the church. And I'll remind you that the Greek word for church is ekklesia, the called out ones, the assembly or congregation of the called out ones. And so those that He has called out to faith in Jesus Christ, they are the true members of the church. Not people that have their necessarily their name on a roll somewhere. I hope that if you joined this church that you did so because your name was already on the roll up there. Amen? Because if not, it doesn't mean anything. Having your name on our roll doesn't mean anything. But having your name on His roll in the book of life, that means everything. And that's the church. And so He wants to move through us, and no matter how bad things get economically or politically around the world, or how bad things get, say, in society and morally, either way, it's the church that's going to be triumphant, and it's the church that's going to have a relevant message. Now, is it going to be a popular message? Absolutely not. The message of the church has never been a popular message. You can't preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him as the only way to heaven and as the only way to the Father and have a popular message in the world. But it is the only message that will truly transform a life. It is the only message that will really take somebody off of the road to destruction and bring them on to the road to heaven. And so no matter how bad things are outwardly, the church is always relevant. Now, I have a record by the Gaithers. How many know who Bill Gaither is? Most people know him because of that thing he does now. But way, way back, when I still had more hair on my head, and before Bill even had the Bill Gaither Band, even before that, he and his brother and Gloria were the Gaither Trio. How many remember the Gaither Trio? And when Barbara and I came out of Puerto Rico in the mid-70s, that's when they were peaking, and they were big stuff. So we got an album by them, and they have a song on that record that I just dearly love, and it ties in with this message, so I'm going to have it played. And it's been transferred as through our modern technology today from the original vinyl, which I own, copyrighted 1973, onto a CD. But Bill Malone said that he purposely left the scratches in there. So, but it's a wonderful song, and it ties in with the message. So, are you a member of the church? And when I say that, I don't mean primarily South Norfolk Christian Church, but are you a member of the church as the Bible means the term, like in these verses that we read? I want to read these scriptures that we didn't read together, but that I have at the beginning of the notes. When Jesus said, "Who do people say I am?" And the disciples said, "Well, some think you're just a great prophet. Some think you're Isaiah or Jeremiah back from the dead or whatever." He said, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, my ecclesia, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. And then in the book of Revelation, we read this. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. And so in this verse, it states how that the Lamb, by His blood, He has purchased men for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Do you know what we call that? We call that the church. And then in writing to Timothy, Paul writes, although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church, the ecclesia of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And so that is, if you want to call it an institution, whatever, that Jesus bought and purchased with His blood. But it's really a vital living organism. What is the church? The church of Jesus, purchased with His blood. If you are one of those who likes to fill in the blanks, now would be the time to have that. And this is based really on the scriptures we read today. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Let's stop there a minute. What does the head do? The head keeps track of everything else that's going on in the body, and the head gives directives to every other part of the body. I asked my class this morning, if you stub your little toe, does your head know it? If you eat something for dinner that doesn't agree with you, does your head know it? And so the head knows every single thing, really. Keeps track, monitors every single thing that is going on in the body. And the minute that something goes wrong, it is manifested in something that we call symptoms. But the other thing is, I wouldn't even be able to do this except for the head. The body does whatever the head tells it to do. And so Jesus is the head of the church. He's the head. He is the one who keeps track of everything that's going on. We're in the churches of Revelation in my class, so that's why we were talking about that. He keeps track of everything that's going on in the church. Now, when He keeps track of everything that's going on in the church, does He do it like the ones who just want to know what's going on so they can gossip about it? Or does He do it because it has to do with the welfare of that body? How many of you want your body to be as well as it can be? Well, you're no different than the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants His body to be as well as it can be. How many of you, if there's something harming your body, you want to get rid of it? Well, you're no different than the Lord Jesus Christ on that. He wants to get rid of the things that are harming His body or hindering His body or whatever. So He keeps track of what's going on in the body. But He also, as the head, is the one who gives the directives. He's given us a lot of general directives. The number one being, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news of salvation through His shed blood on the cross. Preach the gospel to every creature. Has everybody heard yet? Nope. Then I think we got to keep preaching it, don't you? Does everybody that you know and your family and at work and everywhere else, at school or wherever, do they know? And I don't mean have they heard bits and pieces. Do they really know God's plan of salvation? Well, if not, then we've still got some preaching to do. And that's His first directive. Another directive was that you would what? love one another. We'll get more on some of those toward the end of the message. But those are his directives, and that's what, as the church, we're supposed to be doing. All right, Jesus is the head of the church, and we as the church. Who is the church? We are. Someone put a sign up one time, said, take your hat off in church. And somebody said, that sign isn't right. It should say, remove the hat from the church. Because you're the church, I'm the church. The church is not a building. The church is not a denomination. And in the scripture, it's never used either of those ways. Those are ways that we have begun to use the word. But the church is his called out ones, everyone that's a born again believer. So we as the church are what? We're his hands. He's the head. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his voice to the world. And we are, at least this is what we're supposed to be, we are the reflection of his heart. So his heart is supposed to be our heart. So when the world sees your heart, do they see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? And when they see South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, we may be doctrinally correct, and we may have programs for the children, and we may have for our youth and all the other, and support some missionaries. But when the people see our church, when they see our heart, do they see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that is absolutely what they should be seeing. Because his heart should be our heart. Can I hear an amen? And we are his hands. Right after he gave his life on the cross and arose and all that, he said, I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit's coming, and you've got work to do. I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit's coming, and you've got work to do. And now, you're my body. The church is spoken of as his body. What does the body do? It does the work that the head has envisioned that needs to be done and actually carries it out. Did you know, I mean, sometimes I wash the dishes still at home, sometimes. My head doesn't wash the dishes. My hands wash the dishes. If I didn't have hands, I would have a little difficulty doing the dishes. How about that Swiffer? How many have seen the Swiffer commercial where the broom and the mop are saying, come back, come back? But whether it's Swiffer, broom, or mop, would you be able to use it very well if you didn't have hands? Think of all the things you do every day. Dress yourself and so many other things. Work in your garden, whatever it is you do. But He said, I'm leaving, the Holy Spirit's coming, you've got work to do. You're my body, you're my hands. So if there's some work to be done in South Norfolk or at your place of work or somewhere, and when I say work in this context, I mean his work, who's going to do it? It's going to be you. If there's hungry to feed, who's going to do it? You're going to do it. If there are people that need to be called on and visited and encouraged, who's going to do it? Oh, and that's where the feet come in. Without feet, we have limited mobility. We're his hands, we're his feet. We're even his voice. I mean, there's the printed word, but he still said preach the gospel. He didn't say just distribute Bibles and everything will take care of itself. He said preach the gospel. I mean, if it was that simple, we wouldn't have to have Sunday school classes either. We'd just hand to each of our kids a Bible. And say, okay, come next Sunday and tell me what you read. Some teachers would like that. But it's to be preached. So we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his voice. We're the manifestation of His will, the manifestation of His purpose, if we are obeying Him. He's the head. He tells us what we need to be doing, and then we do it. And as we do the work, and as we go to the places He sends us, and as we speak the words that He gives us, in all of that, we need to be the reflection of His heart. Because if we're not the reflection of His heart, then the words we speak, the places that we go, and the work that we do with our hands isn't going to have a whole lot of effect the way that it should. So what should we be praying for 2009? Individually and as a church, we should be saying, Lord, You're the head. I'm Your hands, feet, and voice. Lord, show me Your heart so that I can properly then do the tasks, whether it's Awana, nursery, Sunday school, youth ministry, evangelism, whatever it may be, that I may do it with Your heart. And Lord, as I do it with Your heart and in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, let me ask you, if we do His work with His heart and in the power of the Holy Spirit, doesn't matter our name, hair color, hairstyle, age, weight, educational level, or any of the rest, if we do His work with His heart and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, will it be effective? It will be effective. And if we don't do it with His heart, and if we don't do it with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, will it be effective? And the answer is no. Because we may be doing the right things outwardly, but we're not doing it the way He would want us to do it. The church's condition is not dependent on outer circumstances. I don't care how bad the world gets. I don't care how bad it gets morally, the moral climate gets, or how bad it gets economically. Those things do not determine the condition of a church. The things that can determine the condition of a church is whether we're in touch with the Lord, and if we're prayed up, and if we're in His Word, and if we're walking in obedience. Those are the things that determine the welfare of the church and the health of the church, not what is going on in the world around us. We're put here to minister to them and to affect them, and not for them to be the ones affecting us. But too often, that is what happens. In fact, the church is very often at its very best when everything else is falling apart. Ask all of those early Christians in the days when the Romans were occupying Palestine and the rest of the world. Ask the Chinese church today. Ask them, when is the church at its best? And very often they will say, the church is at its best when it's under persecution. The church is at its best when the times are the hardest, because that's when the true people of God really turn to the Lord with all their heart and really seek His face, and they're more concerned about His will and His purpose than they are about pleasing the people around them. Regardless of outer circumstances, the church will remain strong and vibrant as long as a few things are true of it. Number one, we move in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where we started today, and that's got to be the starting place, folks. The body without the Spirit, somebody complete this sentence for me, and it says that in James, the body without the Spirit is, anybody know the next word? Dead. The church will remain strong and vibrant as long as we move in the power of the Holy Spirit, which means the opposite is true. No matter how much work we do, if it's not in His empowerment, we're pretty much working for nothing. Number two, we remain subject to the head. How many, I won't ask for a show of hands on this one, how many in your teens wanted to tell your parents how it ought to be done? I hear some parents chuckling out there. We remain subject to the head. I don't know what kind of daddy you've got. I've got the kind of daddy that when I said why, he said, because I said so. And that's the way it ought to be with Jesus. Well, Lord, why do I? Because I said so. And then it ought to stop there. Because that's what, if we trust Him, He's our Father. We recognize that He, the Father does know best. Then we remain subject to the head. The church will remain, regardless of the outer circumstances, the church will remain strong and vibrant as long as the message of the cross remains central. And this is exactly where so many churches have gone astray. It's in there somewhere, but it's not central anymore. The message of Jesus' blood, that it's only His blood that cleanses from sin, that He is a sacrifice for our sins, that we must repent of our sins and turn to Him. It's just not being preached a lot of places anymore. But the church will remain vibrant no matter how bad the world gets, as long as the cross remains central. Paul said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified, because I didn't want your faith based on a lot of fancy words and theories, but on the power of God. Take out the cross, you've taken out the power. I don't know how it works, but I hear that in a nuclear-powered ship or something, isn't there some kind of cylinder or something that has to be put in for it to work? And then you remove that, and the power's gone. That's the way it is if you take the cross out. Number four, the church will be strong and vibrant no matter what's going on around us if we remain faithful to the Word of God. Let me ask you, is this really the Word of God? And does it really mean what it says? We've got to decide that. And if it is, then we need to be living by it. How do we remain faithful to the Word of God? At least three ways. We proclaim God's Word undiluted. We don't water it down. We don't compromise it. We don't change it to accommodate current thoughts, values, or norms. B, we live in accordance with God's Word. And C, we reach out to those around us with the salvation message. We actually share the gospel with people. And when we do those three things, then we are remaining faithful to God's Word. Regardless of outer circumstances, the church will remain vibrant and strong as long as we remain united. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. How many in this building today have ever heard of any church, it doesn't matter the denomination, have heard of sometime, somewhere, a church, quote, splitting? And I know sometimes if there's false doctrine, sometimes it can't be helped because you do have to protect the doctrinal purity of the church. But I'll say this, so many, it isn't about that. It's about other stuff. So let's not major in the minors, folks, and let's remain united and strong in the Lord. The church will remain strong and vibrant no matter what's going on around us if we live in love. The love for God, really love the Lord, love for each other, love for our neighbor, and love for the lost. And love for the lost doesn't mean, oh, you're fine just the way you are. No, love for the lost means God loves you. He wants to save you from your sin, change your life, and give you a home in heaven. That is love for the lost. And if we do these things, then as a church, we will be vibrant, we will be alive, we will be strong, we will be relevant, no matter what is going on around us. So my message to you today for us here in 2009 is, let's be the church in 2009. Amen? Let's be the church, not attend church. I mean, attend, yes, but not just attend. Not just be involved, but be the church. Because if we are the church, then we are the church. We're the church right now when we're gathered, but we're also the church all during the week in all of those other movements and contacts and everything that we have. We don't stop being the church when we say amen this morning and we all go out there. And so, keeping that in mind, we're going to have that song now by the Gaithers, The Church Triumph. And I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's one of my favorite songs.
Because he had driven the Church of Jesus Christ out of sight, that he had stilled its voice and snuffed out its life. But God has always had a people. The powerful current of a rushing river is not diminished because it is forced to flow underground. The purest water is the stream that bursts crystal clear into the sunlight after it has fought its way through solid rock. There have been charlatans who, like Simon the magician, sought to barter on the open market that power which cannot be bought or sold. But God has always had a people, men who could not be bought, and women who were beyond purchase. God has always had a people. There have been times of affluence and prosperity when the church's message has been nearly diluted into oblivion by those who sought to make it socially attractive, neatly organized, and financially profitable. It has been gold-plated, draped in purple, and encrusted with jewels. It has been misrepresented, ridiculed, lauded, and scorned. These followers of Jesus Christ have been, according to the whim of the times, elevated as sacred leaders and martyred as heretics. Yet, through it all, their marches on that powerful army of the meek, God's chosen people, who cannot be bought, murdered, flattered, or stilled. On through the ages they march, the church, God's church triumphant, alive and well.
Let the church, be the church,
be the church.
Let the people. Ring out
songs of victory swell for the church triumphant.
The church triumphant.
Alive.
Listen, child of God, it's alive.
It's alive.
Discouraged pastor, it's his church, and it's alive.
It's alive.
Lonely missionaries sow the seed with confidence. It's alive. Church is alive. It's alive, my broken-hearted friend.
It's alive.
Busy mother, cast your cares on Jesus. It's alive, young student. You're not alone in serving the Lord.
It's alive.
Praise your Father. There's rest in the Lord, and the church is alive. Cynical skeptic, you haven't killed God with your noisy unbelief. He's alive.
Bill was right. He left the scratches in, didn't he? Is the church alive? Amen. Amen. Are you going to be the church? Are you the church? May we all be the church this year, everywhere the Lord sends us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for the church that Jesus bought with his blood. Help us to understand, Lord, that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, that we are part of something that Jesus gave his life, literally died, expired on the cross, and then went to hell for 3 days to bring about. And we thank you for pouring out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost so that the church could be born. So, Lord, help us not to view our church affiliation today as some casual thing that has to do with once or twice a week and some place where we go and some activity that we're involved in. But may we understand, Lord, that as your bought and purchased people, we are the church. We are the church in the morning when we get up. We are the church when we have our breakfast. We are our church as we set off for school or work or wherever it is we go. We are the church throughout the day in all the activities that we are involved in and with all of the people that we meet along the way. Even when we are in leisurely hours or entertainment or relaxation, we are the church. And Lord, I pray this that today, that this year we will be the church. Yes, we'll attend and we'll be involved, but more than that, we will be your people. Now, Lord, infuse us with the power of your Holy Spirit that we may be able to go out and do the work that you would have us do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, then you need to become a part of the church. Not by putting your name on a roll, but by being washed in the blood. So I would ask you to come forward this morning if you haven't done that and get right with the Lord. And for the rest of us, that we would recommit ourselves as never before to not just be in church, but to be the church. Feel free to come and share anything the Lord's put on your heart during this closing hymn.